You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, everybody out there in OneOfUs.net land. It's me, Russ, from Deliberations of Doom, your favorite horror podcast host you love to hate. I wanted to just send a shout-out to our sponsor, Oscar Blues. They have tons of great beer, like Dale's Pale Ale, Mama's Little Yellow Pills, Old Chub, Fugly, which is their fruit IPA, and Beerito. Yes, Beerito. So they also have brew pubs in North Carolina, two in Colorado, and one right here in the lovely Austin, Texas. So next time you're listening to one of our podcasts, feel free to crack one of those open and drink along. And keep screaming.
Okay, so we talked about this when we came into the movie, and we feel like we have to start this review by saying, stop listening to this review, and just trust us, go see this movie.
Yes.
Go see it.
Yeah.
Like, the less you know about this film ahead of time, the more of a wonderful little surprise.
And we all liked it very much. High marks across the board.
Yeah.
Aaron, and by the way, I'm Bo.
I'm just this guy.
Yeah, and I'm Aaron.
Aaron and I, for like the first part of the movie, we were just kind of trying to figure out, like, what the fuck is this movie about? it's one of the few trailers I've seen in a long time that it really doesn't let you put a finger on what it is. It's like, well, is this kind of a Gone Girl-esque thriller? And then you see some of the promotional materials, and they're kind of playing up a comic element. You're like, well, is this okay? Is this like a comic send-up of those things?
Half the trailers are like straight-up Paul Feig chick flick.
Yeah.
And half of them are like twisty murder.
Well, and so I saw the twisty murdery one, and all I knew was that Blake Lively wears really fashionably forward clothes.
To say the least.
That she disappears, and that Anna Kendrick was in the movie. I was actually talking to my wife, like, I had no idea what this was going in. I didn't know Paul Feig even directed it until his name popped up on screen. I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, the whole plus is on the I went in, you know, going like, well, I've liked things that these people have done in the past, and hey, I love a good thriller, and I actually like a good chick flick every now and then, so what the fuck ever? Let's roll the dice.
And yet, like, I think it's not fair to even attach the chick flick thing
to
it, even though it has a lot of things in here that are specifically designed to appeal to a female audience, but none of them are like, you know, when you see those things in so-called chick flicks, they're always super cliched.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, here we go with the dress montage or something like that. It's like, oh my God, we've seen this.
Even though there kind of is one of those, and it's hilarious. But enough of our jawing. Yeah. Really, just hit
go
pause.
Go see the movie. Guy, girl, doesn't matter.
And then come on back and join us.
Right, now, the second thing I need to say is this. God damn it, Anna Kendrick is a national treasure.
Yeah, she really should be.
There should be statues of her.
No. Like, so I'm not going to go as far as to say this is like her best performance or anything, but this is the first time I sat there and was like, oh, holy shit, Anna Kendrick can actually play a really wide range. And she does a great job being super dramatic and super devious and being a...
You should go check out some of her catalog, because every now and then Up in the Air is a great one.
I saw her
but she does, you know, the deep cut where she's just like straight up sexy and stuff where she's kind of a jerk. And I knew, but this... This is like, you know, if you're looking for a Kendrick smorgasbord, you get it here.
And also, we're reminded once again that Blake Lively, who I had just written off for a while, is like, whatever, she's pretty, but
She's Gossip Girl.
After The Shallows, I was like, wow, she pulled off that whole movie all by herself and did a great job. And this proves once again, she's got a lot going on. She's got a lot to offer. As opposed to the guy playing her husband, Henry Golding, who also, I suspect this is going to be a huge hit. And Crazy Rich Asians was just obviously a monster hit.
Yeah.
She also starred in playing the fiance to be. So this guy, he's a beautiful Asian hunk of wood.
Yeah.
But before we before we give more opinions, just talk as best we can without getting into spoilers what this movie is actually about, because we don't want to be like the trailers where you go, I still don't know what it's about. All right. So Anna Kendrick plays Stephanie. She is...
She's a mommy vlogger.
She's super mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, she is... She is that stay-at-home mom who volunteers for every event and who the rest of the parents kind of hate a little bit because we're too tired to do that shit. We all know this mom.
She feels like, when we first meet her, what Reese Witherspoon's character from Election grew up to be.
Right.
You know, way overachiever to the point where, like... She just makes everyone else, like you said, kind of hate her.
Yeah, they kind of hate her because she's a little too perfect and
she's clearly wound
too on the nose.
Really,
yeah,
tight.
She's the Martha Stewart but with more mommy vibe.
She's basically a smart, ambitious woman who put everything in her life aside except the kid.
Yeah,
and so. All of that super intelligence and all of that drive is just, boom, funneled straight through her kid.
That's why she's so good at doing everything, because she's got a brain that just organizes stuff and categorizes it and knows exactly how to get everything done and keep a warm smile the whole time. Because she really is. She's got that sort of Betty Crocker thing going on, too, where she's just like... has this image of, like, American Sweetheart from 1956.
Yeah.
You know, she wears really tacky, like, clothing that's, like... You know,
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say tacky, but I would go so far as to say if they had like a Tony sitcom mom, that's kind of the look that she's going for.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it's not sexy, but it's like kind of like semi fashionista mom on deck.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure it's actually super fashionable what she was wearing throughout the entire movie.
Does it look like something you dress your 12-year-old up in to me?
That's actually
like little cute animals on them.
well, sit down. Yeah, hey, but please tell us more about women's fashion, Karl Lagerfeld.
I don't even know who that is. Anyway, but the other thing in her life, other than her kid, and she is a single mom because her husband is dead. She's a widow. Is that she runs this vlog where she does like cooking and just home advice type things, which, you know, I mean, it's not as unpopular as, say, the Girl from Eighth Grade's blog, but it's like not a gigantic hit. She's clearly doing it more for herself.
Yeah, I think she has like 30 followers at the beginning.
But, yeah, and most of them are fellow parents in the neighborhood that are kind of watching it and ripping on her.
Yeah.
Well, one day she meets the mother of another kid at school that her friend, her little kid's just become friends with, who is Blake Lively. And right off the bat, you're like, it feels like these two are going to become instant enemies because they couldn't be more different.
Yeah, she's New York fashionista. She does PR for a you know, Tony fashion line.
She busses in front of kids.
Right.
But I think my favorite thing is when she makes a comment about bonding with her son in the opening scene with her. She's like, what? We bond? I'd let you tear at my vagina when you popped out of it.
But yet, there's something that both of them, each one has, that the other one kind of desires in their life. And a friendship is born, strangely. And the two of them start hanging out and drinking martinis. And we start seeing... Anna Kendrick actually learning how to let her hair down a little bit and relaxing, and Blake Lively kind of being charmed by her sort of hominess, her sweetness, her inherent sweetness. Blake Lively telling her flat out, I am not a good person. And that's pretty self-evident from the get-go. Yeah. But she lives in this amazing house.
What depth of good person are we talking about here? Because at first it's just like, oh, well, she's just like a cutthroat businesswoman who... you know, doesn't really have time for her family, and it comes out that, you know, she's having money problems, and she's kind of had a wild life, and, you know, she doesn't seem all that happy in the, you know, this Connecticut suburban life that she's kind of found herself in and is more or less trying to avoid.
Oh, she's clearly miserable.
Yeah.
And she flat out says as much. She's just like, and Anna Kendrick's like, how? You live in this incredible house.
Yeah,
her husband is like the most hunky guy I've literally ever seen. And he wrote a book that I loved. Yeah. It's like, what is not to...
I think we're burying the lead here, though, because the movie opens with one of her vlog posts. YouTube videos. And
saying,
hey... my friend disappeared 5 days ago, and I know you all want to know about it.
Yeah.
And so the whole time we're meeting Emily, Blake Lively's character, it's with the context of, at one point, Blake Lively is going to call Anna Kendrick with a simple favor and ask her to take care of her kid for a little bit, and then she disappears.
Which is exactly what happened.
Which that's the crux of the movie.
She's gone for to the point where they're calling the police, and Kendrick is hanging out with the husband, going like, I'm trying to do anything I can.
And at first, all of her, Anna Kendrick is the first one to kind of get worried. To the point where, because her, Blake Lively's kid is with her for like 4 days. And so she actually starts stirring the pot and finding out the husband's, attending to his mom's injury, and he's English, so he's in London. But she's asking around to all of Blake Lively's, business acquaintances and what have you, and they're just like, oh, this is just shit that she does.
Her boss, a hysterical little cameo by Rupert Friend, who's playing this total fashion line douchebag.
He's basically playing Michael Kore.
I don't know who that is either. But I gotta be honest, though, Ryan.
Is there a single bad apple in the actors in this movie? Because I can't point to a single person who isn't at worst delightful.
It's really, man, they get some really good cameos in here. Even like her catty neighbors are excellent. There's like kind of a troika of them, one of whom is a partner in Charla, one of my favorite stand-ups.
And Andrew Rennells, who's been in a lot of movies, who appears in movies like this, like, those films that are like chick flick adjacent. Mm-hmm. And he, at first you're like, okay, well, he's just like the side character to be there to be like a snarky dad there. And they actually, and he's not in this a lot, as it goes along, he becomes more and more entertaining. And there's actually a downright just kind of heartwarming scene with him in this film where he's like, I used to hate you, and now I kind of like and respect you. And I'm like, that was just, I was like, oh, I like that. And, of course, he gets, like, one of the best scenes in the end of the film of anybody.
But the standouts of the like, kind of cameo roles here are really Linda Cardellini and Gene Smart. God.
I wish it was more.
Just knock it out. And,
I wish
there
was more Linda Cardellini in this. Because when she appears, I was like, holy shit, that's Linda Cardellini playing a very atypical Linda Cardellini role. And you're like, oh, my God.
She's basically playing someone out of the Martin Scorsese's movie After Hours.
You're like totally the girl when I was in college that I really wanted to date and just had no clue you were there. That's as far as I want to go with describing the plot, aside from to say she, we got to the point where like she's missing. Okay, if you've seen the trailers,
now what?
Then you know that. And so it doesn't take long. And with a normal review, I would tell you what happens next, because it's still very early in the movie.
Yeah, this is like 15 minutes into the movie,
but
I think.
But it's just one of those, like, you gotta kind of watch it play out for yourself. And there's a lot of, like, the first thing I thought was, I got my Veronica Mars itch scratched. Because it really is, it's Kendrick's movie.
Yeah.
And she is Anna Kendrick, like, mom detective.
She's suburban mom sleuth.
Well, it's... Yeah. I was conscious of this to you guys when we came out. This is the first time I've seen an authentically good comedy thriller since, like, Fargo. Mm. And it's not like Fargo. It's
not like Fargo,
different movie.
But the thing is, certainly people have taken, thriller tropes and done funny stuff with them. But what this does, just like Fargo did so well, is... The comedic stakes and the dramatic stakes remain consistently at the same level. They're both very high, so that when stuff is serious, you have oh fuck moments.
And shit gets pretty intense in this.
There's
movie.
Some dark shit.
I would
this.
Almost compare it more to something like Get Shorty, which balances that comedy and like twisty plot elements and keeping you guessing and drama really, really well. But ultimately, like I said, it just kept coming back in my head to Veronica Mars. Like, if they made a sequel and Veronica Mars was in the universe and the two of them formed a private detective agency together, no one would blink an eye, because it just would fit the whole sense of humor here, which is honestly laugh-out-loud funny, like, many,
there's some
many
hilarious
times.
Bits.
Hilarious dialogue, hilarious funny sequences, like, but also the way the mysteries are always so they're not what you think they are. Like, things are never as they seem. So, I mean, we were saying, I think it's Diabolik meets Veronica Mars.
It really is. It's like if they decided to make a comedy version of Diabolik and then actually gave a shout-out to the movie.
I was going to say, they name drop it.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I will say with the comedy, though, and so when I saw Paul Feig's name, I kind of got worried because the last like four Paul Feig movies, he's been working with a cast of very talented actors who are also primarily got their start as improv comedians.
Sketcher improv.
And so,
and they all tended to be the, like, he was trying to be do an act.
Shit, also. Like Spy, Ghostbusters, The Heat. All the way back to like maybe the Bridesmaids, they're all movies where they're all talented actors where they just
but there's a high slapstick.
Well, they just stop the movie for 5 minutes to riff, and I don't enjoy that. It's not funny to me.
Nothing about this movie feels like it was improv.
That never happens. He's working with just like legitimately great actors who are working from a very tight script. And so you never hit that moment where you're going, all right, this joke stopped being funny 3 minutes ago. It just, okay, the joke's funny, they move on. The joke's funny, they move on.
I'm generally a big fan of his, although not to the point where I go, I hate his stuff. I mean, I've kind of liked most of his stuff. And Spy, I genuinely really enjoy.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's not a masterpiece or anything. This film, I'm going to watch this one again and soon.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if I go with my wife to see this because I'm gonna be like, "Oh, you're gonna love this." This is genuinely one of my favorite movies I've seen this year.
Yeah,
that strongly.
If this makes any commitment, so when I got here, I had to plug my phone in to charge it. Before we sat down to record this, I just texted my wife and told her that she needs to get all of her friends together to go see this movie because I think they would all legitimately enjoy this movie, and offered to babysit three boys. That's how much I want her to go see this. Like, everyone needs to go see this movie.
Oh, well, let's go to final thoughts, Aaron. Keep going.
All right. Well,
I hate to go into it this early, but I'm like, I keep being afraid we're going to spill something that I don't want to let spill. So,
I mean, it has a surprisingly phenomenal soundtrack of Europop songs.
Yes.
Well, they're all like, most of them are 60s vintage French yee-yee stuff. That's Y-E-Y-E. I'm glad this money is there. The Franz Gall, who did the main theme song, is probably going to be making some money off this. Well deserved.
Every single actor in this movie is good and brings their A game, and it's phenomenally funny. It's twisty turny like nobody's business. It gets serious and kind of dark, but never gets so dark that you can't enjoy it or that it makes you feel dirty. I mean, quite frankly, I think this might be my favorite Paul Feig movie. Like, I was kind of leaning to, like, I really enjoyed Spy and a couple of others, but it feels like he tightened his game down. Like, he's gotten filled with excess in the past, and this one he was like, fuck no, I'm making this. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a thriller, and you're going to laugh your ass off too. Okay. So I would give it 9 out of 10 London martinis.
What about you, buddy?
This is definitely a standout favorite. I love twisty movies that keep you on your toes, and this absolutely does that. It throws a shit ton of curveballs at you, and you never really quite know where they're going to land, but you're just enjoying the ride so much that you're not sitting in your seat trying to. You know, figure out whether this or that or the other thing is wrong. But you're just like, I just tell me the story. And it's a really fun story. The characters really pop. The dynamic and chemistry between Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively is awesome. These guys need to make a series of buddy movies. This is just, this is really, just a great little thrill of a movie that has a comic element that I haven't seen blended like this in a long time, and boy, I don't think I even realized that it's one of my favorite things to do. So, definite shout out to this cast, especially Bashir Salahuddin, who plays the police detective in this.
He's
just
perfect.
Holy shit! Every time he's on stage, it's like the Hannibal Buress bit where he's just like, every time you pretty much say anything, I'm down. This is great. it's just really tight. And not only that, if you are like me into stylish elements and fashion and design, this movie is really, really pretty. It is filled with eye candy. I love that. This is definitely something I'm going to be checking out again and probably owning. I give it a unhesitating 9.5 bottles of aviation gin brought to you by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I'm if this movie performs really well, and I will be surprised if it doesn't, quite frankly.
God, I hope it does.
I think word of mouth alone is going to make this stick around in theaters for a while with a lot of repeat watching and big crowds of people coming to see it. If it performs as well as I think it's going to, I wouldn't be surprised to see this actually be that dark horse. We know it's not going to win, but they gave it a Best Picture nomination anyway.
Right.
You know, because it is kind of at that level where it's like, we got to give something to the, because they always do that, like the one, we know it's popular.
Damn you, Bo.
I was about to say that.
We know it's not going to win, but it's kind of awesome. It got nominated.
We tried to make a whole category for you fuckers who keep making money.
This is one of the most fun movies I've seen this year. I laughed at it continuously, and I'm begging you guys, if you are Veronica Mars fans, you're going to love the shit out of this movie. This is right in your wheelhouse. You'll be like, God, if you like Kristen Bell and The Good Place, yes, for God's sakes. It's got that kind of sort of wry humor to it.
If they actually had Kristen Bell in this movie, it would just collapse into the charm equivalent of a black hole.
No, it would open a door to another dimension.
And I can't emphasize that it's not a chick flick. Like, it's, yes, the main character is a woman, she's a mom, mm-hmm, but it's not a movie just for moms, it's not a movie just for women.
But it appeals to all that, and yeah, I love that it's selling point. Ultimately, at the end, you're like, you know what? Being a mom is one of the toughest jobs there is, and you've got to be really on your game and really smart and really together to do it well. And somebody who can do that can do almost anything. And that's kind of what the movie's ultimate message is. And I'm like, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Kendrick is, like I said, a force of nature. I just love her more and more. In fact, she's officially now, after this movie, gone to the top of my list when they always go, what celebrity would you like to go have a drink with? I'm like, I would go have a martini with Anna Kendrick, quite frankly.
Maybe five.
I think it would be an incredibly fun conversation. And I don't mean that in a sort of like, wow, lecherous way. I mean, yeah, she's cute, but she's also like, she actually kind of looks like one of my cousins.
I also like, one of the best things about this movie, I just have to throw out, is Blake Lively is really like, she does such a great groove of being this, you know, disaffected, maybe she's crazy, maybe she isn't, like, wild child, dark-humored person that is very much like the person you see, you know, flirting back with her husband online. If you follow her and Ryan Reynolds' interactions, and boy, this is she's raised her bar for me.
Well,
with this
I will say, I think that both of their characters at first seem like funny, exaggerated cliches of personality.
They're very much so.
And yet, as it goes along, they become more nuanced, they become more interesting, and a lot of that is because the chemistry between the two of them is just sensational. It's sparkling. It's fire's coming off them when they're together. It's so tight, I would watch these two as a comedy duo together. Yeah. They're like, just bang, 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 bang. But it's so clearly none of, like I said, like you said, none of this is improv. This is clearly all scripted. I fell really hard for this movie. I would watch a spinoff about Linda Cardellini's character as well.
Yeah.
Who is badass.
Or a prequel.
The little time she's here. Or a prequel. Mm. I'm going to give this 9.5 out of 10 adorable pairs of socks.
Aww.
I have quite a few, actually. I belong to Sock Club.
It's like Fight Club, except you can talk about it.
Yeah, you can talk about it. They encourage you to talk about it. And
you have to beat someone up to get the socks.
Well, that's true. You do have to do that.